What about sorafenib and sunitinib? We're starting to see some papers or some at ASCO recently looking at that. Where is that heading?
So I think with sorafenib, there's a great amount of disappointment this year when the randomized trial of chemotherapy plus or minus sorafenib didn't hit its primary endpoint and was closed. However, Joan Schiller presented at ASCO some interesting work looking at a randomized discontinuation study where patients who had stable disease with sorafenib were randomized to either stop the sorafenib or continue the sorafenib, and it found that the patients who continued the sorafenib appeared to do better before they progressed and had a longer period of time. Obviously, it's a randomized phase two. It's not a definitive study. But I think that that's led people to be a little more excited that sorafenib could be an agent. Sutent, on the other hand, is something which may also turn out to be a third-line or fourth-line drug in lung cancer. We don't know yet about Sutent's role with chemotherapy. That has not been defined yet. But as a single agent, it appears that sutinib has about a 9 to 10% response rate, which is very close to what docetaxel and pemetrexed and Tarceva have.
What about side effects and toxicities?
I'm a little more concerned with the tyrosine kinase inhibitors in terms of side effects, and that they all seem to cause fatigue and generalized malaise and other types of systemic symptoms. I think the antibodies are certainly cleaner in terms of their side effect profile than the small molecule inhibitors. And I think with Sutent, sorafenib, and AZD2171, these drugs tend to cause a similar type of fatigue. So I think it's something we have to watch carefully. If they prolong survival, we'll find a way to make the toxicity bearable, as our colleagues in renal cell have done.